Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Good morning. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to preach to you a little while this morning. I had a couple of different things in mind this morning, and Brother Allen handed me that letter, and I read it accidentally before service. Got me spun up, and now I might say anything, except for I'll try not to cuss. Try not to cuss very much. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's start reading in verse number 1. I'm trying not to make too many opening comments because I want to keep my mind focused here. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. So we preach. How do they preach? Let's look back in verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. I do pray, oh God, that you would help me to stay focused, God, on the message here that you've given me, that I do believe you've given me. And I pray, God, that you'd help me to say these things well. And then, Lord, step aside and let the Holy Spirit speak to hearts. And I certainly will thank you and praise you for all that you do. In the matter, God, of this fellow from the school board sending letters, I pray you'd be merciful to him, first of all. And I pray, God, that you'd save him. It wouldn't surprise me a bit, God, if he leans toward the offended species of folks, God. But I pray that you would help him. I pray that you would reveal yourself to him. Lord, I'm reminded of the men who come to stand before Israel and tell them that their gods was no good and tell them that this is the way things are going to be done. And the last time I checked, Lord, public schools were public. And Lord, I pray that you would help us and strengthen us, God, to do what must be done. Help us to do things in the correct way. Help us to preach the gospel. Help us to do the things that you've called us to do. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us in that regard. But then, Lord, I ask you finally to judge between them and us. Lord, I don't get too much into fighting my own battles as far as spiritual things are concerned. I just pray that you would judge between us and do according to your will, and ask you at the same time to be very merciful. And I thank you and praise you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let me read verse 3 one more time. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Now, Ruth and I left here in 2002. We went to Georgia and pastored a church there for a little while, and we came back here. And then we left again to pastor that same church in 2008. We stayed there for 10 years. Most of you know we come back here this year. Now, first thing I did when I got to Georgia, especially the second time around, it seemed like the first time I didn't have time to do anything. But this second time around, I started spreading out, going to revivals and camp meetings and such as that. And I quickly learned that I was the odd man out. And this message is not about me, but it just so happened that I was the one experiencing this experience. So go to the camp meetings, and a couple of them even asked me to preach once. Amen. And that's about all it was. But after that, you know, you'd get meetings, and it would always, the invitations to the meetings would you like to come to this camp meeting where Brother so-and-so and Brother so-and-so and Brother so-and-so will be preaching? Which means where you will not be preaching this time, amen. And sure enough, that's the way it was. And so even going so far as to, and there's a lot of camp meetings down south, I guess you would imagine the weather's a little warmer and they tend to have stuff all year round, not just in the summertime, but they have quite a few meetings down there. And even up into North Carolina, we'd go to meetings, and I began to hear a common theme, something that I'd never heard in all of my life. And I've been going to church for a long time. We started going to church right around the end of 74, the beginning of 1975. That's a long time in my book. Now, if you're 98 years old, that's probably not a long time to you, but it was a long time to me. It's just about all I can remember. And I do have a pretty good memory. Not too bright as far as intelligence is concerned. I don't have a super IQ or anything like that, but I do have a good memory, and I do remember what I've heard preached, and I can pretty much tell almost instantaneously when I go to a church and start hearing a preacher preach, I can almost instantaneously tell you about where he's going and what he's just by listening to what he's saying, because I've listened to a lot of sermons, listened to a lot of preaching. But I began to go to these camp meetings, and I began to hear the same theme at each and every one of these camp meetings. It would be almost automatic. I could almost predict what they were going to say before they would say it. And I've heard it quite a bit. One of those statements would be something like, well, we're not here to grind any axes. Number two statement would be, if you're going to be critical, just give us a chance. What do you suppose we might be critical of? You know you're about to do something that deserves criticism. If you've been here, you've got a bunch of people in front of you that's been reading their Bible. You're about to do something that they're not going to agree with. Amen? Some things were not in person. They didn't have to. Steve Brown Ministries, you can watch camp meetings all over the place. And one night I was watching a family singing group get up, and they absolutely axe murdered a great gospel song. And then the pastor gets up after that. If you don't like that, there's something wrong with you. Well, there's definitely something wrong with me, because I didn't like it. I don't like good gospel music mixed with I Found My Thrill on Blueberry Hill. Now, some of you will be singing that song the rest of the day, and I'm sorry if I put anything into your head, but it ain't right. It's not right. It's not correct. I don't like it. And the preacher said at that same time, and it stuck with me to this day, he said, you can't put God in a box. And some of you would say, amen, because you've been watching too much television. God is in a box. God is not coming out of the box for anything you've got going on outside of the box. The box is called truth, and he ain't coming out of that box. He's not coming out of his space for you or for any other religious guru that you know or love or cherish or worship. Just because you can't get your, listen, if you want to get your thrill of that kind, feel of that kind of music, just listen to it somewhere else. Don't bring it in church. Well, then we would be hypocrites. You're already a hypocrite. We already know this about you. You should know it about me. Men are hypocritical from stem to stern. All men are hypocrites. You cannot be a Christian without being a hypocrite. You have a flesh that loves sin. You have a spirit that loves God. You are a hypocrite. The sooner you get that through your skull, a better understanding you'll have of what Jesus done for you when he saved you. Amen. The flesh, it certainly needs sanctifying, and it needs as much training as it can get, but the flesh at its most well-trained state is failed flesh. And that's all that there is. Lester Roloff said, when I heard him say it when I was a little boy, he said, there's no deacon flesh and there's no preacher flesh. There's just flesh. That's all that there is. Bunch of hypocrites. Amen. And so this whole movement that's going through the Independent Baptist Church, it went through the Southern Baptist Church, and that's what caused there to be Independent Baptists. It's a moving away from God, and it's a moving away from God's principles, and it caused division. Ruth's favorite word, schism. She loves that word for some reason. She likes to hear preachers say it lots and lots. Amen. No, she don't like it at all. But the word simply means division, that there be no divisions. Amen? And so somebody comes along and he says, well, we really shouldn't preach hard. We really shouldn't preach against sin. And somebody steps up and says, yeah, but the Bible says. And he said, look, that guy's causing division. Amen. No, we were here first.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen? Yeah. Well, we really think you should be more tolerant towards people with AIDS. And well, no. No. Well, it's the tolerant thing to do. Well, you're causing division because when it was only God here, he said, don't do that.
Amen.
Right. Amen. And so you better be careful. As one man said in the scripture, you might find yourself to be fighting against God. You're not fighting against a little Baptist church congregating in a little brick building on the side of the road. That's God's principles. Amen. Go to a camp meeting and preach it about folks better get right and have the local guru come up to you after church or even during the next sermon. And it correct you on what you... I read it right out of the scripture.
Amen.
I'm not giving you Brother Mike's opinion. I read it. I read the verse. Did you see that verse? Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
Well, as I began to hear these things... When you've got an opinion or you've got a belief or you've got a doctrine, anything like that, and then this fella says no, and this fella says no, and this fella says no, and this, you begin to scratch your head, maybe I got this thing wrong. And I guess if somebody presents another opinion, I wouldn't say jump on it and swallow it, you know, all at once without chewing it, but you ought to at least think about it and pray about it. And I've always been taught if a preacher tells you something, you should pray about it, be like the Bereans, go home and study your scripture about it. So that's exactly what I do. Hey, Lord, help me with this. I need to understand this. It doesn't seem like I'm making many friends here, and I'd like to get this thing straight. Of course, at the same time, I prayed and said, Lord, I can do without friends. I've done that for 50 years. I'd be all right with that if that's the way it has to be. But Lord, help me with this and show me. So one day I'm skimming through the great spiritual place we all know and love for our Christian doctrines, YouTube. And I stumble on this message, and the title of the message is Preaching 101. I said, well, here we are. I've never taken this class, and after I take this class, perhaps all these preachers will love me, invite me in to preach, you know. But at any rate, no, I didn't think that at all. But here, Preaching 101, who wouldn't want to listen to that if you're a preacher? So I clicked on it and started listening to the whole thing. Matter of fact, I listened to it a couple of times. But at any rate, the sermon title was Preaching 101. And it was a fella out in California named Noel Jones. And I'd like to tell you he was a good preacher and that the sermon was good, but the sermon stank and the guy's a rascal. I just get that out of the way right there. The guy's a rascal. And he's one of T.D. Jakes' associates, which some of y'all probably like T.D. Jakes because he ain't got no sense. But at any rate... T.D. Jakes' associate, and he's preaching this message about basically how to preach. And he is undoing everything that a preacher ought to do. If a preacher has done it and a preacher's used it to good effect, he tore it apart. You ought not do this, you ought to do that. And you should have heard all the Bible that he was using to put forth this mess. The only Bible that he uses pretty much through the whole sermon, I say pretty much through the whole sermon, the only Bible that he uses pretty much through this whole sermon is the verses that he's picking on preachers about using. For example, I've heard probably several preachers throughout my lifetime use the passage where the man leaves Jerusalem and goes down to Jericho. And a preacher pick up on that naturally if you got any sense. If you leave God's city and go down to a wicked city, you're going down. If you leave the Bible and go to Playboy, you've gone down. You've gone down. You've not went up. You've gone down. If you don't smoke and you start smoking, you've went down. Amen? If you don't watch X-rated movies and you start watching X-rated movies, you've spiraling out of control. You're not evolving. You're devolving. Well, that's just an. He said that's the dumbest thing. And I'm not giving you exact words, of course, but what he's saying is that's the dumbest kind of scriptural interpretation that he ever heard. That's just foolish preaching. Hey, that's the kind of preaching I've heard all my life. Amen. So I'm sitting here listening to this kind of stuff, and it's just illustration like that after illustration like that. And then I've already told you I've been going to all these camp meetings, and it's the same old guys, and they're running the circuit and all this stuff. Well, the camera pans right around, and who would you think was there? Not Alan Ryman, but that. definitely wouldn't Brother Alan Ryman, no sir. But there was a fellow there named Dean McNeese. I said his name out loud, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. There he is, and he's sitting there, and the fella's really saying something offensive towards Independent Baptists, and he's not calling them out by name, but that's who he's describing. I've been around him again, like I say, since 1975. I know who he's talking about. And that camera, I mean, they didn't spend a lot of time through the whole service panning through the congregation, but right at that time, they swung it right around and put it right on, and he's sitting there going. Full agreement. Enthusiastic agreement. Well, this is the same fella I've been seeing going to all these camp meetings, and when he gets up to preach, I'm just going to speak to you out of my heart today. I don't much care about your heart. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Don't much care about it at all. But I just feel a movement of God here, and I just wanted to talk to you for a few minutes, like 70 or 80 minutes, but who's counting? Amen. Well, that thing begins to spread out. Now, I believe that spiritual wickedness is just like a virus. Everybody interested in this virus these last couple of weeks? I believe it's just like a virus. I believe these guys come up with fancy cliches. God help a church that's surviving on cliches instead of the Bible.
Amen.
And they'll say stuff like, hate the sin, love the sinner. Oh, amen. Chapter and verse. There ain't no chapter and verse for that.
That's right, amen.
Amen? And people just, see, that don't hurt. That don't hurt at all. I go to these camp meetings and I say, well, here's, look at, I heard this was a great camp meeting. I see this girl here in the miniskirt. But maybe this is her first time. She might get saved tonight. Lord, help her. But she's one of the ones standing up praising the Lord, shouting and running around. Now, there's a way that you get there. The way that you get there is close the book, stop talking about principles, stop talking about holiness, stop talking about righteousness, and just preach to people's ears, scratch people's itching ears until next thing you know, anything goes.
That's right. That's right.
Next thing you know, you're getting a letter from the school board telling you how to operate in public.
Right.
And telling you that we have a system of tolerance and you're not welcome. Think about that just a second. We have a system of inclusion here, except for people that don't agree with you.
Yeah. Right.
That's exactly like every other socialist country in the world.
Right.
Well, how do you get to that place? You get to that place because the church of the living God has backed up off of the Bible and started putting their emphasis on stuff like hate the sin, love the sinner.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Or I'm not worried about the ditch. Oh, I'm not worried about the dirt. I'm just worried about the ditch. Amen. Jesus not worried about a ditch. He'd get down in the ditch with you.
Yeah.
And when he did, you know what he done? He died for your sins.
Yeah.
He died for your sins. He died for your sins. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 22 says, be sure your sin will find you out. He didn't say somebody was going to get Google Maps and find out what ditch you were in. This is a serious thing. Before long, you soak up stuff like that, and you'll be allowing all kinds of stuff in here. You'll be just like every other Southern Baptist on the planet, dead. Well, they believe some wonderful doctrines. So does the devil. That's right. The devil believes wonderful doctrines. But you won't find the devil on the street corner out there telling people to get right with those doctrines. Absolutely not. He can't do it. The devil couldn't do something like that. Every time he gets around any place where God is, he fears and trembles. I'm talking about a devil, not necessarily Satan himself. But you get around spiritual stuff and you start, the Lord shows up. The devils fear and tremble. They believe just like you do. God shows up. You know what happens in most churches once they start getting cold and they get away from the topic of sin is when God really shows up. What's going on here? These people are crazy. No, these people are in the right mind. Clothed. We don't want to judge people about what they're dressing. They're clothed and in the right mind. Modestly clothed. Well, I got clothes on, yeah, but a G-string and a bra don't count. Amen? That's absolutely true. You go, well, we just accept people the way they are. Well, a lot of preachers like that sort of thing. Yes, sir. We'll find out why in just a minute. Be sure your sin will find you out. Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. Amen. The book of Romans says, how shall they hear without a preacher? A preacher comes along, gets down in the ditch with a sinner and says, hey, how you doing today? You look like you're in a pretty rough shape down here in this ditch. This ditch sure is a problem. I tell you what, you say this quick prayer and God will get you out of this ditch. No, sir. You get down there and say, man, look at here. You got some red dirt over here. You got some black dirt over here. Call on chicken dirt over here. Start describing the dirt.
Amen.
Amen. Got some dirt on your face there. Well, I remember when I was down in the ditch, had some dirt on my face.
Amen.
Jesus died for the dirt.
Amen.
Wouldn't you want that dirt cleaned up today?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Get that dirt washed off me and you'll walk down the ditch and get Brother Heath. Amen.
Amen.
He's already been got, but that's a good illustration, ain't it?
Amen.
Just stay in the ditch. You can stay in the ditch all day long. Jesus come down to a whole ditch full of people and started walking around getting people out, but he dealt with them about their sins. Amen? Dealt with them about their sins. For all have, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Shouldn't be no problem for a human being to talk about sin. We all got it. Amen? You know what people, you know what scares people about coronavirus? They ain't got it. Ain't that true?
Yeah.
Look at all these people with coronavirus. Once you get it, you'll be begging to get in the hospital with them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah.
Bunch of Christians get saved and forget they're sinners. Oh, I can't get around that guy.
Yeah.
Well, to a certain extent, you're right. I wouldn't go to the bar with him. Especially if you had, now if you never had a problem with bars and you look like a librarian, you're clean cut as gold and never been tempted by nothing like that, go in there and have at it, amen. Stand up on the pool table and preach and they're going to probably beat you up, but amen. Call Brother Allen, he'll help you out, amen. Amen. Call one of these big fellas around, get Brother Joe and Brother Tweed to go with you and some of these big fellas. Brother Dave back there, it'd be a good one. But they got big fellas out there too. Amen. But you see, we go in the highways and hedges and talk to people about their sin.
Amen.
You get in the pulpit and talk to Christians about their sin. We'll get into that just a little bit. You say, why? Because verse Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. You know that's still true?
Yes,
How many of you saved?
Amen.
The wages of sin is death for you.
Amen.
For you. And maybe everybody don't think like me, and maybe I'm a little bit too hard, and I guess that's probably true. But I know this, it takes a very wicked man to watch a snake curl around somebody's neck and choke him to death and not say nothing about it. Nice snake you got there.
Yeah.
Far be it from me to judge.
Yeah.
I think that snake's killing you.
Yeah, man.
Now you get an axe or a pry bar. Of course, I know he probably don't want me swinging an axe around his neck, but... Get something and get it off.
Amen.
That seems like the nice, tolerant thing for you to do. Amen?
Yeah, right.
Amen. And my opinion, I don't guess, counts too much, but I want somebody to preach that way to me.
Amen.
Hey, you're messing up.
Amen.
For me, really, as a boy that grew up in a real strict home as far as getting whoopings go, I was always of the opinion once I got up old enough to start having a little bit of sense, like, here's a God that loved me enough to die for me. And then, rather than call me out in person, he'd send a preacher up and let him preach before 100 people, 200 people, 300 people, 400 people. He could be talking to anybody. It's not personal. Nobody knows he's talking to me. I mean, he's busting my behind with a big old paddle is what he's doing. But nobody knows it but me and God. Maybe the preacher if he's looking at my face right now. But that seems awful nice to me. It seemed like a good plan. I mean, just get up and preach and wear me out, straighten me out, help me out, pull me out, set my feet upon a solid rock and establish my goings. And nobody noticed except that, well, they saw me go to the altar. But if they ask me about it, I say, well, I was praying for Brother Ken. Because that ain't none of your business. I don't have to confess my sin to you. I don't have to tell you what I went to the altar for afterward.
Amen.
Praying for my wife to get right. Which is a lie, and I have to ask forgiveness for that. But, but amen?
Amen.
But that's a wonderful thing. But people don't like that.
Yeah.
People start leaving after that. I've already read you 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Sin for us. Made Jesus Christ become sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ was made sin for us. Sin for us. Amen? Now I want to turn with you to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we'll start in verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? A lot of preachers. You know who has, the very few, I haven't preached at a lot of different churches. I preached at the church I was a pastor of. I preached at this one. I preached at Brother Bobby Leonard's in North Carolina. I preached at White Plains once or twice when I was younger. Hadn't preached at a lot of churches. But in the churches that I have preached in, I've always preached the same message. And I try to preach at least one message that I have everywhere that I go. But it's pretty much the same thing. We need to get right with the Lord. I just sum it up for you, amen? And you know, I've never had anybody in the congregation, for the most part, I've never had anybody come up and say, I hated that. That was bad. That was, you know, you get the standard, amen, brother, good preaching, you know, stuff like that. You don't take that good or bad, amen? You get full of yourself and think, well, I'm the greatest preacher ever. No, you're not. No, you're not. But at any rate, what I'm trying to say is the people who usually get mad are the preachers. Preachers get upset. So and there's something behind that when a preacher gets upset because you're trying to get people right with the Lord. Now, I do understand this, and when I do get the opportunity to preach in somebody else's place, I've never been there, I try to speak to the people. I try to understand what's going on. I try to, pray and find out what the need is. And if I would preach in some other place, especially at the first time, I wouldn't just go off like a madman, try to use as much wisdom as I can, but preach the message that God wants me to preach. When you're with the same people every week, you have liberties that you don't have in other places. I'm not talking about being unwise. I'm just talking about preaching the message that God has you for to preach. And if you mention sin, most of the time it's preachers that gets mad over that. Most of the time. Most of the time it'll be the preacher that gets mad. Just like they say here, Lord, the disciples told Jesus, them Pharisees sure were offended. They sure were mad. They sure were mad. And that seems to be the case with me. I've had preachers, and I've had preachers preach after me and come over like where I was and explain why they don't preach hard. He's looking back there, but you're standing right in front of me. I just preached that message 20 minutes ago. I'm not senile. Look right down here in my face and tell me. Or you could just come after church and you wouldn't have to waste 20 minutes of these people's time. Amen? Amen. It's the preachers that get offended. Because there's a couple reasons for it. I'll give you one of them here in a minute. I'll give you the main one here in a minute. But one of the reasons is they're spineless.
Amen.
Yes, man. Not called to preach, man. I'm a marvelous minister. Yeah, but you ain't called to preach.
Amen.
How would you know they're not called to preach? Because they're not preaching God's word. That's a great indication right there. If you're not preaching God's word, God didn't call you to preach.
Amen.
Well, maybe they used to and changed. Okay, that might be a possibility. But I didn't hear you used to preach. I heard you preach just now. Amen. It's not my responsibility to figure out if you used to be called to preach and now you're not called to preach and one day you might be called to preach. That's not my job to figure out. If I hear you preaching to my wife, I just figure, this guy ain't called to preach at all. So Brother Mike, that's pretty arrogant. That's not arrogant at all. That's common sense. It's only arrogant to people who watch television 24/7 and think we live in Merry Christmas World, La La Land or something. It's not like that. Listen, when me and Ruth first got saved, when me and Ruth first got saved, when we were born again as one flesh, when we got married, one of the first things we did is I set my sweet little wife down in a chair and said, this is not a Hallmark movie. This is reality. We're going to have hardships. We're going to have difficulties. Things are not going to fall into place all at one time. This is just not, this is a real world where real things matter. And when you come to church, listen, if I was the senior pastor and the first day you visited the church, I wouldn't come over to you and say, this is just a wonderful church where people loves everyone and we're so glad to have you today. Oh, let me give you a hug. No, sir. I wouldn't do it that way. Well, hey, welcome. Glad to have you and all this stuff. But I'd be thinking in the back of my mind, there's some weirdos in this church right here, and I hope you make it. That's the way I see it, amen, because I also am a member of this church, amen. And pretty soon you're going to run across me and you'll have to deal with me. Amen. I hope you have as much grace as you expect me to give you.
Amen.
This preacher never has any grace. Well, where's mine?
Amen.
How come you're not putting up with me, Mr. Tolerance?
Amen.
Of course you want people to put up with you. You love you. Amen. There's a reason for that. He said we'll get back to it. He said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? Jesus said, no, I didn't know that. For the last 3 years, I've been telling you what people are thinking. I've been calling them out. I didn't know they were offended. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. A lot of these preachers heading for a ditch, they're carrying a lot of folks with them. Amen. Amen. And I used to be nice. Once upon a time, I used to be nice and kept my mouth shut a long time, long time, long time. But I ain't keeping my mouth shut no more. These guys are devils. They're leading you to a ditch. And a lot of them are supposed to be gurus and very spiritual. And they may very well be very spiritual, but the spirit behind them isn't the same spirit that wrote this book. They talk different.
Amen. That's right.
They talk different.
Amen.
They act different. Where Jesus said, I died for your sins. And the Bible says a preacher is supposed to preach and explain that to people.
Yeah.
If you preach the gospel is Christ died for your sins.
Amen.
You cannot get saved till you figure out you're included in that group. It's not possible. Amen? Then after you're saved, you can't live a clean Christian life without somebody tells you the difference between that and unholiness. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse, chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, Paul says, I'd like to talk to you. Who's he talking to? Saved Corinthian people. He said, I want to talk to you like spiritual people, but you're not spiritual. You're carnal. That means they're given to the flesh. The world and the flesh and the devil's driven by sin. I hope you know that.
Amen.
Just sensual. The Bible says about some of these men, they're sensual, having not the spirit. Today, I just want to speak with you about how you feel. Well, I feel so bad, Brother Ken, that I don't have time to worry about how you feel. I want to care. But I just don't.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not saying that in any kind of mean way. I know you have the same feelings. I know for an absolute fact that this man and this man and this man and this man have the exact same miswired, messed up feelings that I've got. I know that. So now, if we want to talk about discipline, how to get past those things, that's a totally different message. I'll talk to you about those things. I don't give a rip how you feel. And if you talk to me about my feelings for more than 10 minutes, I'll just think, you're looking at me, but you're actually talking to my wife.
That's right, man.
Because I've been married to my wife for 20 years now, and she will talk to you about her feelings. Well, I just feel like I just remembered I had something to fix. I don't want to talk about that stuff. But that's the way you get them. Oh, and even men, too.
Yeah.
Lord, that's the best. That was the best sermon I ever heard in my life right there. I love it. Listen to that rot.
Yeah.
I just want to talk to you from my heart today. Oh, boy. People love it. I bet they also sit around the house watching When the Heart Calls with their wife. I need a tissue. Well, guess what, big boy? The feelings are going to come tomorrow, too. You're going to have to put on your big boy pants.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
You're going to have to live through it. You're just, what was you telling your wife when you first got married? There's going to be hardships. We're just going to have to live through it. One of these days you're going to wake up and say, oh, God, I married an idiot. And you're going to have to live through it. You're going, looks are going to change. Thoughts are going to change. Feelings are going to change. You've got to live through it.
Right.
You know, some people get and join the church. And, oh, man, this is the greatest church ever. I mean, it's like the story of People's Baptist Church while I was there. Fella comes to church, sits there 3 weeks, and then finally comes up to me after church. Oh, Brother Mike. You are the best preacher that I've ever heard. Oh, thank God for you, brother. We were looking for a church like this. Can we join? Yes, sir, join right up. It wouldn't take but about 4 or 5 weeks more. Something you said the other day offended my wife. So what you're saying is this isn't your favorite church and I'm not your favorite preacher. Yes, we've decided we're going to go and try this other church over on the other side. I believe they're practically the same as here. If they're practically the same as here, you're not going to enjoy it over there either. But it's not the same as here. Amen. But that's exactly what you're dealing with. You're dealing with men who are sissies when it comes to hearing preaching. And you're dealing with, and you ladies, you can be sissies all you want to. It's kind of a feminine thing to be, as a sissy. Amen. Now, if you're strong, if you're lifting 200 pounds at the gym, I don't care about that. I'm not offended by that at all. But you can be a sissy if you want to. But men, come on. You're supposed to be a spiritual leader for your home. And if you come to church and get a bump or a bruise and your wife gets upset because the preacher didn't shake her hand, I had a guy come up to me and say, Brother Mike, I hate to do it, but we're going to have to go. We're going to have to go find another church. Well, what's happening, brother? What's going on? Well, my wife sat in this other church for 5 years and the preacher never shook her hand. She's not going to go through it again. Well, you can survive over there in that hell hole for 5 years and you can't stay 5 weeks here?
Yeah. Amen.
If your wife's that interested in shaking my hand, you can take her and go on. There's something wrong with that.
Amen.
Is that right or wrong? Now, if you ladies want to come shake my hand after church, I'll let you borrow the hand. You can take it home and shake it all you want to. I'm not saying there's not anything inappropriate, but if it moves you to the point of madness that you've got to quit church because a preacher won't shake your hand, you've got a problem. Ain't you got a husband? Shake his hand. Ain't that right? Man, rub his bald head. Amen. Ain't that true? Is that true or ain't it? Look, he's afraid. I'm talking about wives. He's But that's true. Bunch of sissies. Just a bunch of sissies. Amen. Oh, I got to quit here. I got 10 minutes. Let me give you this. The devil's concept is simple. You get rid of, Southern Baptists went through it. The Methodists have went through it. The Presbyterians have went through it. Listen, Presbyterians and Methodists used to preach just as hard and straight as any Baptist ever stood on the face of this earth. And good sermons. And said, some of them old Calvinists up north, they could preach. Yes, sir. And they preached messages that moved whole states and whole colonies. Those guys could preach. But you know what happened in each and every one of those things? Bigger crowds. Bigger crowds come in, you get used to it, and then people start leaving. You get used to that money.
Yeah.
When they start leaving, oh my soul, we better find a more wise way of saying things. Amen?
Yeah.
And here's what happens. These guys start getting rid of principle. Well, we better not say nothing else about homosexuals. Well, I never heard the word homosexual when I was a boy. They were all queers. You say, why? Because it's strange for a man to like another man. And that's what the word queer means. It means strange. That is strange. Amen? If I see you driving down the road in a pink Volkswagen with purple polka dots, that's queer. And if I see you holding another man's hand and you are a man yourself, that's strange. But you have to back up off of that because, you know, a lot of Baptists are watching Fox News and they've been moderated now. Amen. And they've heard fellas preach, you know, all the popular guys. They've heard Dean McNeese and they've heard all these other preachers say that you shouldn't be preaching hard. You should just be loving one another and trying to help and encourage. I believe in help and encouragement. I just don't believe in the same method that you do. I believe in it. I believe in getting your feelings adjusted. I just don't believe in going about it the sissy way that you do. Amen. 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 That's right. Whether you like it or not, it's right. I'll meet you at the judgment seat about it. Amen. God judge between me and you on that. This is correct. You get rid of these principles, you get rid of these principles, and then, listen, the Christian fellowship and the Christian relationship, I'm talking about your relationship with Christ, your relationship with the God that made you, and your fellowship with the God made you is transformed at some point in there to a Christian ministry. This is a Christian ministry. Now what we're concerned with is a Christian ministry. And what we're concerned with is reaching the lost. You know what it takes to do that? So every other paragraph in the sermon, you get a plea for money. Now, if you'll just help me, I'll get over to the Philippines. If you'll just help me, I'll get over here. If you'll just help me, I'll get over here. If you'll just help me, I'll get over here. Well, hey, hold on just a minute. You can immigrate to any of those countries. You wouldn't suggest that somebody would immigrate. Well, if God called you to Montana to pastor a church, you know what you'd have to do? You'd have to immigrate. You'd have to pack up your family, and you'd have to move them out there, and you'd have to get a job, and you'd have to work. And at the end of the day, you'd be thankful instead of disgruntled. Amen? Now, when you talk like that, the calling just disappears.
Yeah.
Brother Mike, I'm called to China. Okay, immigrate. Well, that changes the picture, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. You better be thankful for modern-day missions or we wouldn't have any.
Yeah.
Amen. That's true. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 18 says eventually ministers, the ministers of God become so shameful and so happy to be shameful that the only message they got is give ye. Give ye. In shame they do love. Give ye. The way they preach, the way they act, what they do behind closed doors, it's all shameful. But their message is still love. Give. Love, give. Don't fall for it. It'll kill you, church.
Amen.
It'll kill your spirituality. It'll put you in a place where you'll accept anything that comes down the pike. And I don't intend to accept anything that comes down the pike. Because I tell you what, if it comes down the pike at me, it lands awful close to this one.
Amen.
And not far behind this one, I got three little girls and a boy.
Amen.
I don't want it near me. Don't want it around me. You say, that's intolerant. That's godly. That's called, it's not intolerant, it's holy. That's what it's called, separation. I can be separated and live a separated life, and I can get next to any sinner, and God will protect me there. But if I walk away from God's principles and I say, now God protect me while I get over here next to this guy that's living like hell, he ain't going to do it. He's not going to do it. Next thing you know, you and him will be buddies, and you and the preacher will be out. I don't like you no more, preacher. You ain't tolerant. Don't ever get tolerant, preacher. Preach.
Amen.
Preach. Amen. I mean, I think everybody understands. But there's a lot of tolerance that goes on in a godly man.
Yes, sir.
A godly man has a lot of tolerance. But I'm talking about the tolerance that just allows everything.
Yeah.
When you allow everything, the dangers come in with it. And there's enough dangers for a righteous man.
Amen.
You go find you a righteous man after church and ask him about him. Amen. I don't consider myself to be one, but I want to be one.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your grace. I pray you'd protect this church.
Amen.